Previously on Talking Trash.
I glanced at the 80s in Roger Corman's Career of the 80s. I grabbed a couple of titles that just stuck out to me. I don't know what these movies are. We can talk about what are these movies. What do we think these movies are? I just wanted to ask you, because you said Streetwalking jumped out at you. You saw a hooker and you saw Streetwalking, and that jumped out to you. Now, here's what jumped out to me, because that's how we pick these movies. These are the ones that picked out and jumped out to me. Let's talk about them.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
I'm Joe.
And we are talking trash today.
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe you can't really review films unless you know what the worst is. And today, we're doing something totally weird and out of the ordinary. We're doing a little callback, because on April 23rd, 2024, on our 89th episode of Talking Trash, 89 episodes.
Wow.
We did a movie called Streetwalking, which was about a killer pimp who could not be stopped like the Terminator as he went on a rampage to kill one of his prostitutes, one of his girls. And
he was the Pimpinator.
He was the Pimpinator. And on that episode, we made a joke. I said to Joe, of all the 1980s movies that she could have picked, of Roger Corman did, because he made so many films that year, I said, why that movie? And so I gave her a list of movies, and I said, let's go through these titles, because they're all insane, and see if she could guess what those plots are. And then I said, you know what would be really funny later on? Let's watch each one of those movies. So today we are talking about a movie called, well, at least the first one I named anyways to you, which was Blood Fist from 1989. So let's hear what you thought this movie was about. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Blood Fist.
Oh.
Now, what the hell do you think Blood Fist is?
Okay. Well, I feel like Blood Fist is the type of movie that would star David Carradine.
And oh, interesting.
It would be a revenge flick about a man whose whole family was killed over a plot of land, and he had to get revenge.
That is really a lot of information I wasn't expecting. I didn't look into these.
Pulled it right out of my butt.
Right on your buns.
Oh my god.
Alright, so
wow, well, I was right about the revenge flick.
One part of it, you said revenge flick. That was the only thing that stood out. No Carradine.
Okay.
Which we constantly say you're going to ban from this house, and I keep sneaking him in.
I think you're doing that to punish me on purpose. I mean, we've been together a long time, and I thought you still loved me, but I think...
I don't think I love you.
Something's happening.
Because Carradine shows up?
Yeah, you know, when Carradine shows up, it really just... It really tugs all the love out of my heart.
That's really evil.
You know, and then you gotta replenish it. You gotta put it back in there, and it's a lot of work for you, so you better stop it.
Yeah, I feel evil now. I really do.
David Carradine movies are terrible. I don't care. Awful.
All right. So, yeah, I jokingly picked these movies out because the names are so good. Blood Fist, to me, sounded really, really exciting. It's not the movie we got. Not at all the movie we got.
No. I do like the plot of this one better.
Then
my assumption that it's going to be a fight over the plot of land.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, you made a better film. But David Carradine, I don't know if he would have been a good lead in that movie.
no.
Yeah, no.
David Carradine doesn't make a good lead in any movie. I'm just saying.
All right, so here we are on our first movie of the month, 1989's Blood Fist. It was directed by Terrence H. Winkless. It's his second movie following the 1987 killer cockroach movie that I've still not brought myself to watch out of fear of nightmares.
And you won't, because I don't want to get like slapped in the middle of the night.
I have to see it. This thing keeps popping up. The Nest.
No, we can't watch that. I can't deal with your PTSD in the middle of the night.
I've seen this poster of this giant cockroach on a woman in her lingerie so many times.
No.
That I'm like, I have to watch this damn thing. It keeps coming back.
No.
It's been on my watch list forever.
That is forbidden. I'm not dealing with this. It's going to happen to your brain cells after you watch that.
I feel like in a couple months, we're going to do another callback episode where I watch these things that I say or never watch.
I think we can't have any bug-related things in this house. No bug-related movies.
I say a whole month of bug-related films. No. Sounds like a really fun idea.
Oh, sounds like fun, huh? For who? No, not for me.
Just
not
because you think I'm going to be swatting things in the middle of the night?
Yes, you swat things in the middle of the night. You've been known to do that. You think that there's bats in the house. Okay.
That was one nightmare I had.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be cradling you when you're crying in the middle of the night. So I don't want to hear it. No. I want to sleep. I need my sleep.
I don't think you've ever cradled me. Here's exactly what would happen.
Hey, I've cradled you.
I woke up in the middle of the night screaming. You said, hon, go back to bed. And then you snored.
I don't snore.
You're perfect. You don't fart. You don't sneeze.
Hey. I've never said I don't fart.
Okay.
And girls who say that they don't fart are fucking liars. Get your life together. Everybody
farts. Well, we all
farts.
Know that. Everybody farts. I think there's a book, right? This director went on. He
I think that's everybody poops.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were talking about Terrence H. Winkless, and he went on after this movie to direct 38 episodes of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which is funny because when I was looking into that, I was like, what part did he direct? Only the Americans? Because that was famously a Japanese show that they took and put Americans in it. So I guess he only filmed the kids in school?
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. It was also written by Robert King. He wrote Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge.
Oh, that's a winner in this house.
And another winner, we still haven't watched Cutthroat Island, which is considered one of the biggest disaster films of all time.
Is that the one with Gina Davis?
Yes.
Okay.
And then this is really strange. He went on to create a couple TV shows. He created The Good Wife and Evil, which I still haven't seen. I'm interested in that. This movie also stars B-movie all-star Don Wilson.
Yeah.
Also, Ty Bo creator Billy Blanks is in this film. Don't think he has any dialogue.
No, Billy Blanks, he's a badass. I would hate to be in a bar fight with him, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's true. He actually should have been the damn star in this movie because he is so ripped and his fighting looks great in this film. More so than Don Wilson. Like, I don't even understand how he's the star of this movie.
Yeah, that's true. Doesn't he go by, like, Don the Dragon Wilson? Is that him? The same?
I was wondering about that, too.
I think it is him.
Is that him?
Yeah, he's, like, won a lot of awards and stuff for martial arts. If I'm thinking of the same person, yeah.
That's crazy, because I don't see any of it on film here. Hmm. I didn't really do any research. I just know that this guy is in so many B-movies.
Yeah. Yep, that's him. He's won like a ton of crap.
Yeah, did you see it on film?
No, I don't think he's that great.
No. This was shockingly dull in the martial arts category. We'll get into it. Let's finish up here.
All right.
Because I got some other fun facts I just want to read out to you.
Yeah, tell me.
Tell me if you believe any of this stuff I'm about to say is true.
Okay.
This movie was followed by 8 sequels.
Okay, false.
The titles are Blood Fist 2, Blood Fist 3, Forced to Fight, Blood Fist 4, Die Trying, Blood Fist 5, Human Target, Blood Fist 6, Ground Zero, Blood Fist 7, Manhunt, Blood Fist 8, Train to Kill, and Blood Fist 2050.
Oh my god. Does Don Wilson star in all of those?
You believe all that?
No, but I don't, but like, I'm looking at your face right now. I think it's all a bunch of shit, but if that's the truth, I'm really shocked.
It's true.
Shut up.
Yes, and he is in all of them except for Blood Fist 2050.
Oh my god.
And you know what the weirdest part is? Only the sequel continues from this movie.
Well, so then what does the...
He plays a new character in every movie.
No.
Isn't that freaking weird? I got another one for you.
Wow.
You want to know another one?
Yes.
This was remade 3 times.
No, I've never heard of anything like Blood Fist, like the same name, Blood Fist.
Nope. 1993 is Full Contact. 1993, Angel Fist. 1993, Dragon Fire. I'm just going to say all those movies came out in the same year and they used the same story. I think they changed two of them, changed to a woman is the lead.
Wait a minute. So they remade this 3 times in 1 year? Is that what you're saying to me?
Yes, they used the same story multiple times to do this movie. It is so odd.
Okay, well, can I just say, since you just put that out there, this is a door opening for me right now. They used the same story. This is a very generic story.
Yes, you know this guy I was just telling you wrote this movie? His story was taken in credited in all these movies. So the story of this movie was credited in those movies.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and also what's really strange is the 9th movie in the series, which is also aka Street Fighter 2050 or aka Blood Fist 2050, is also considered a remake sequel. I have no idea. I don't think any of that is true.
Oh my god.
But it is considered a part of the series. Don't understand what the hell's going on here. I feel like all of this was made up. But it's true.
Okay, well, I mean, I would say that it's made up if I hadn't just watched this movie and realized that this is the most generic run-of-the-mill plot you've ever had in your life. So anyone can remake this and just put a different spin on it.
Yeah, I want to watch the remakes with the women.
Oh, is it Cynthia Rothrock?
Oh, good. I will say this. One of the remakes has a better score on IMDb than this movie.
Now, if you're listening, check out Cynthia Rothrock. She's pretty badass. She's a bad movie night all-star, but she's really good.
No, there's a guy is the main guy in the other one. I have no idea.
Well, who's the girl then?
Let me see the other one, Angel Fist.
The fist of an angel.
I have no idea. I don't know these people. Oh, this looks bad.
Oh, my God.
All right, so... Yeah, Blood Fist. Okay, now I gotta get my question to you. Really, is how much money did this movie gross? This was in theaters. First off, can I say that to you? This was in theaters. Do you believe that? Because I had a hard time believing. I had to research it.
I feel like this movie would have come out overseas and been like popular over there, but I don't think that it's popular here. So I'm gonna say the gross here was probably $2 million.
Gross worldwide.
Oh, gross worldwide. Wait, hold on. Okay. Gross worldwide, I'm going to say about $10
million. You could go back to your first estimate. It wasn't even that. It was under that.
$750,000.
1.7.
Okay.
1.7. Kind of shocking that this... I can't believe this even came out. I cannot believe there's sequels. I cannot believe that this is a series... It's blowing my mind.
Okay, but
I don't even think Don Wilson was in a movie that ever made anything on IMDb past a 4.
Aww.
I think everything's been a 5.
He doesn't really have a lot of charisma when it comes to acting. You can say that.
Yeah. Well, I guess you can count Batman Forever. He appears in that, so as a gang leader.
Okay, I'm blanking. I missed him.
Oh, and Say Anything. He appears in that as one of the people, I guess... In the studio with him?
Well, he might be the kickboxing coach because probably. John Cusack is a kickboxer.
And that has a 7. So that makes sense.
Okay.
So that is something that is over a 5 or a 4.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
So yeah, we watched Blood Fist. And I got to tell you, yeah, you nailed a better movie in your estimation. And I assumed Blood Fist would be a better film.
I mean, I thought that this was a better movie than My Plot of Land. But this movie, no. I don't know.
This movie, this is a shit show, this one. I mean, really, we're starting off real quickly. This movie is not much of a film.
Well, here it is. This is a very, like I said, it's a very boring plot. Like, this has been done into the ground where the guy, you know, he has a brother. His brother gets murdered and he has to seek revenge. And he has to leave America to go overseas to where his brother was murdered and he has to get revenge. Okay.
Can we slow it up and just say he has to get revenge? Does that seem like really happens in this film? Does that necessarily is plot points?
No revenge to be had.
There is?
Until the last 14 seconds of the movie.
Yes. It's so odd because he just gets a phone call. He lives in Los Angeles. We know this because he has a Hard Rock shirt on.
He does a Hard Rock Los Angeles and he lives in Los Angeles. I'm not going to walk around wearing a Hollywood, Florida shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
And I live in Florida.
It's like they wanted you to know for some strange reason, which doesn't really connect. The movie is so bad. It starts so bad. Like, it does start with a murder. By the way, this guy's brother, Don Wilson's brother in this movie, is in the opening, is in a kickboxing match we watched during the opening credits where he keeps landing in the same puddle of blood.
It's just a reused shot.
Yeah, he just keeps falling back in the same spot as the blood. And apparently during this match, whatever contest he's in, I think he's supposed to take the fall, but he doesn't, right? And he's like, I guess he's about to take the fall. He's getting his ass beat. And then all of a sudden he's like, nah, I don't want to take the fall anymore. And he kills the guy that he's fighting.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be broken up about it or even taken aback by what he just did.
Yeah, not so much. So much that the next shot, he's just plastered.
Yeah, he gets drunk like he's celebrating a victory. But, like, literally, you were supposed to take a dive, dude. Someone's going to get your ass.
Yeah, you can't be this stupid.
Yeah, and he's that stupid because he gets freaking murdered.
Yeah, he gets murdered in an alleyway, but it doesn't really look like he's murdered.
No.
He just looks like he's knocked unconscious really badly.
Yes. I didn't think that he was dead. I actually motioned to you. I'm like, wait, is he dead? Yeah, like, I didn't even know because it looked like he just got knocked out.
Exactly. And I felt like there was going to be a twist with this plot line.
Yeah.
Because we were just talking about how we cut to, California.
It's not Florida. Everybody shits on
us. It's because you said the shirt. Yeah, we cut to California where we watch Don Wilson. It's terrible. Right out of the gate, this film is terrible with bad dubbing. Right? I don't even know if it's dubbing.
It's not dubbing.
It sounds like ADR, but it is so low.
Please, I'm in a hurry.
Oh,
I had a black bag.
Always in a hurry. Always rush, rush, rush. You like?
Beautiful. Please, my stuff. I had a black bag right over here behind the bush.
Come. They will not follow you here.
Who won't?
Guards from the Red Fist. You fight well. I like that.
It's just a low, yeah.
And bad the transfer. Shot, the filming is so bad because he's supposed to be doing this really cool kickboxing thing for the kids at his gym. And they have it set up that when he punches or kicks the dummy, they have a blow up on it. They have a button that they push to make it look like it explodes. But the way they shot it didn't do anything. And the kids don't even look excited about it.
They don't have any reaction.
Nothing happens. It's like a pointless scene.
So he's the owner. I guess he's like part owner of this gym with his brother who just got murdered.
And some other guy with a cane.
And some other guy. So the thing that after he gets a phone call about his brother being killed, that he has to go identify the body.
Yeah, this is where I was saying the twist.
This is where I'm like, okay. So he's got to go to Manila to identify his brother's corpse. So fine, okay. When he gets there, he goes to the police station, and the corpse that they're speaking of is literally in an urn. It's ashes in a freaking filing cabinet. And the guy, the freaking cop says, here's your brother.
Yeah, he flicks through it and goes, oh, this is it.
Okay, why did they call him and say, come identify the body?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's so weird.
And you know what's funny? They have a bag of his belongings that were on him before they, like, cremated him. And one of the things is the evidence in his hand that he gripped of the killer, which was a piece of his shirt.
Yeah, it was a piece of fabric.
Fabric. And it's like, that's evidence. And they just put it in the bag. Like, here you go. This is his belongings.
They he goes to the cop. Effects.
He goes, what is this thing? And he goes, oh, it was in his hand.
Let's not do any investigating.
Yeah. Oh, did you scrape out any DNA while you're at it, down under his fingernails? Like,
Would they have done that before or after they illegally cremated him? As like, literally... You don't just cremate a person if they have a next of kin. You need like permission to do something like that. And you can't even get permission. They have to come and claim the body.
All right. Like, now, this is where I thought maybe his brother isn't dead, but the next shot is even funnier with this. And that's why I believe that he didn't die. Because the next shot is the cop just throws the crime scene photos in front of the brother. And you see the brother covered in blood, which he was not.
No. So, okay, why would they... Okay, I don't understand what's going on with this director. Okay, you showed us literally 13 seconds ago what happened to this man.
Yes.
He was slapped around a bit and he was just left on the ground. He was not covered in blood like he was stabbed 80 times.
Yeah, he looked like someone's Gallagher smashed a watermelon on him. And there's so much blood splashed on him.
Like, my four-year-old niece would look at that and be like, what is going on? You know, like, why is he covered in blood?
So I looked at you and said, am I crazy? That's not what he looked like. Like, that's not it at all. I don't really understand, unless they're saying that people beat on the dead body over the night.
No, because we saw that after he was, like, I guess killed.
Killed, apparently.
He was robbed. Somebody came... Some homeless guy came and took his hat off of his head and took his money out of his wallet. So it's like, okay, then we can see him even more because they literally zoomed in on this shot of this guy stealing from him. So he was not covered in blood. It was a really bad film flub. But
it's odd.
Maybe
that's what part two is. We don't know, Joe.
Oh, don't start me.
We don't even know what part two is.
If you think...
What could part two be?
If you think we're putting that on, you are sorely mistaken, sir. Oh, I want to watch all
nine of
these films. Oh, no, we're not either. No, we're not.
Oh, one day we'll be doing Blood Fist Movie Month.
Is the blonde girl in it?
I didn't look into it. Okay, well, let's...
So, more about this ridiculous plot.
Yeah, well, okay. He goes and dumps the ashes, and the only thing he has is this red piece of fabric with some writing on it. And so he sees people wearing those outfits that match up with it. So he follows them, right? And they go to a school, I guess. We don't really know what it is, but it's guarded with people with sticks.
Why is it guarded?
And there's people doing, like, training, martial arts training of some sort outside. And he can't get in there, so naturally... Now, this is the funniest thing. When he walks up to the gate, there's two guys at the gate, so they go into his face. So he leaves. But when he was walking in, you saw somebody walking on the wall above him.
Yeah, I thought it was the gardener.
Nice. I didn't think he was the gardener. My first thing was Steve Martin and Three Amigos going, up here, look up here.
Look up here, look up here.
I was looking at that the whole time thinking it. And I didn't expect in a million years that he would jump up on the wall and try to watch on the other side of the wall and not realize there's guys with giant bamboo sticks walking up and down on the wall, and he doesn't see them at all.
Yeah, see, what threw me off about this movie, there's a lot about this movie that threw me off, but what threw me off is this part, because it makes it seem like there's some kind of, like, criminal organization rather than just a school of martial arts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we know the secret is that there is some kind of gambling, boxing ring situation. There's people gambling on the fights,
right, which is why his brother was supposed to throw the fight.
He was
going to make a lot of money for throwing the fight, however he decided he wasn't going to do that.
Well I guess that's the thing, right? Because it's so weird, we actually see people working on IBM computers, so we know it's a very high sophisticated
ring. Oh god, it's a pretty big operation there.
Big operation. And he goes up on that wall. One of our favorite bits, though, is that he takes his bag of clothes that he brought, his duffel.
Yeah, it's like a duffel bag.
He just goes to the side of the grass on a hill and just puts leaves on top of it and then walks away. Like, he thinks that I can leave this here and no one will ever find this.
Yeah, that was a plot. That was a plot device.
We
needed that strange plot device to introduce the character that we meet next.
Not really. But when he's on the wall, he fights the two guards on the wall.
Yeah, you would think that there would be more henchmen coming along. But when I say henchmen, I'm using that term very loosely because what is this? What is going on here with these guys in the red geese?
Yeah, they're part of this fighting thing.
It just looks like a school. So I'm like, wait a minute. So that red piece of fabric was clearly one of those guys. I mean, it definitely matched. So I can see, like, maybe he wants to do some investigating on who they are. No. He doesn't want to do any investigating. He goes back to get his bag, and it's gone. And he meets... what's his name again?
Oh, yeah.
Kwong. He meets Kwong. Okay,
now, is it Kwong?
Yes, it's Kwong. So the bag is gone, and he meets Kwong, who's sitting by the water, drawing like what appears to be a frog on a lily pad. Okay, and the guy just tells him, "Hey, come with me. I have basically..."
Well, he asks the guy, "Did you see who took my bag?" And he goes, "Oh, come with me. I have the bag."
Yeah, I have the bag. So he took it as like a way to get him to talk to him, why did you need to take the bag? Just be like, "Yo, bro, I need to talk to you." No, everything is done so ridiculously. So
he could have just went over and said, "What is that school? We didn't need to have the fight." And it's not even that the fight's cool. The only reason to have fights in a movie is to show fun, cool, exciting stuff. The fight on the wall is nothing special.
It's nothing special at all.
All he had to do was, instead of jumping on the wall, go over and ask somebody, and maybe it's this guy, and say, "Hey, what's going on over there? What's that school or whatever? What's that fighting place?" And then maybe this guy will tell him.
Yeah, but he doesn't ask at all. He's just like, "Okay, I'll come with you. Let's go." They end up in a bar. They end up, he gives them the bag back, and he says, "Hey, I have a business proposition for you. You know, you can find out what happened to your brother," because he tells him the whole thing, and also, you know, make some money, because you'll need money. Now, I'm wondering how long this guy's going to be in town. He probably just came in on a passport, and he's already getting a job. Now, mind you, he has a business back home in L.A.
Yeah.
So he just left that, and I understand he needs to find his brother's killer. I get it, but... this is a bit much.
It wasn't even the way he was led into it. That fighting thing doesn't happen yet at all. He kind of leads him into a bar of other fighters, and then he's watching a whole bunch of fighters play poker, and like he's caught up in this world. He's like, "Oh, this is the bar where all the fighters come from that place." And then he gets caught up in a whole scandal with one of the gamblers.
Right? Oh, yeah.
This is a whole plot point, because we get introduced to our new side characters, and we get this guy named Baby.
His name is Baby, and that's a birth name. His parents gave him that name.
That's what he says. I mean, he says they couldn't figure out a name, so they just called me Baby.
He
sticks up for the waitress, which is a woman who is from this area in this movie, and he sticks up for her, and so
some guy's rubbing her on her tush, and he's like, "Hey." And so
she instantly is all about him now.
He completely becomes obsessed with him. It's kind of cute.
Yeah, he's introduced in a funny way. He pretends that, you know, Don Wilson's watching him. So he's like, "Oh, you're watching me? Why are you staring at me?" And he pretends to have a fight with him so he can steal all the money during the fight.
Yeah,
it's kind of "I'll split it with you" while they're punching each other.
It's a funny operation because Don goes along with it.
Yeah. Because he doesn't know what's happening.
Right.
And he goes along with it. And then these are like the buddy setup. And he says, come to my house. You just got here." Now, the guy, Kwong, he disappears.
Yeah.
During the scene. And he just is now with Baby. And he goes back to his house. Now, Baby suddenly is drunk when they get in the door.
It's so weird.
He's not drunk
weird.
The whole time until he walks in the store.
No. Not at all. I'm like, wait a minute.
He becomes instantly comically bombed.
So did they... No, they left. They didn't stay there. I was going to say they could have stayed and had some more drinks, but no.
No, because he stole all the money. They had to get out of
there. Yeah, they had to get out of there.
Yeah, and so, which is odd because he fights with these guys. Normally, they would see him again and be like, well, fuck all that money go.
Yeah.
Well, he goes back to Baby's house, and Baby's like, you can stay here with me. And then when he splashes water on his face, you know, usually that wakes you up. And you see people do that, you splash water in your face in the morning, wakes you up. No, the moment he does it, he gets, like, completely, like, falling asleep. I said, what did he splash in his face? Chloroform? Like, what's the first, what did he do there?
Yeah, he passed out.
So he passes right out on the bed, and we are introduced to his sister now, who left a note on the window that says, I'm upstairs, on the roof. And he goes up to the roof and sees a woman that looks like an older woman to me.
Yeah, so our main character's name is Jake. I keep calling him Don because that's his real name. Yeah. But his name is Jake, and he sees this blonde woman. Now, this is the whole, like, late 80s, early 90s, long butt type of body.
It is a thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
They have these really high... So she has on this leotard. She's a dancer, okay?
Yeah, that's... We're going to say dancer loosely.
She's a dancer, and she's got on a leotard, and she's practicing on the roof. Now, this woman... I'm not saying this to be mean, because I don't like...
Yeah, saying no, stuff I like agree. This. No, I understand.
But she clearly looks like she stepped out of, like, the show Saint Elsewhere... Where, like, she's just, you know, a soap opera diva, and yeah, she's, like, way that. Older than she really is.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Really weird. So he meets her, and he's like, oh, you know. You could tell automatically he kind of, like...
Yeah, this is kind of... We know this is the meet cute.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
She correctly guesses where he's from. I wonder why. He has a hard rock Los Angeles shirt on.
Yeah, gee, that's just rocket science right there. Let me guess,
she's from the Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. No shit.
So, I guess she does. She lives with Baby. They live together, and he. I guess he's awake when they go back downstairs because he says to her, "He's like, hey, you know, this is Jake. He's gonna be living with us."
No, Jake says it to him. He goes, "Well," she goes, "you don't have to take him seriously on staying here." And he goes, "I have to. He owes me dinner." So, which means she has to take him to dinner. So they go and eat in, like, a food cart.
Yeah. So this is, like, the start of the little budding romance.
Yeah.
This movie, I think that this movie takes too long to get to where it needs to be. Because
there's no investigating.
Now, mind you, okay, so this starts off, the two of them have a romance, blah, blah. But now, so he has met Kwong.
And yeah, Kwong comes back.
He comes back and they start the training.
Well, this is the thing that really bothers me, is that Kwong seems to live there too, because he just randomly shows up in their house. And it's like he also knows Baby's sister.
Okay.
They have full conversations in this movie where I was like, are they connected? Do they know each other? No, are they working together?
No, they don't establish their relationship at all, how they know each other. It's bizarre. But, like, he immediately says, okay, well, you know, I'm going to train you, and you're going to make money doing these fights, and you're going to investigate the death of your brother. And we're going to fight each one of these guys in, like, the red gis and enter the tournament or whatever, some shit. So, okay, fine, that's great. But one key moment that was not mentioned was that the movie made a point to show us a shadowy figure.
Yeah, and I guessed it instantly.
Yeah. So
during the opening of the movie, when the brother doesn't take the fall, he looks at a shadowy figure and he says, I'm not going to take a fall. And that's when he fights and kills the killer, the fighter that he's playing against, or fighting against, whatever the hell it is. And you see that pisses off a person. Then we also don't see the killer, because that's also in the shadows. And I said to you, well, I don't think this is a twist. There's no secret here. I know who the killer is.
Yeah, it was obvious from, like, minute one.
Yeah.
Well, so I was like, wait a minute. Like, this is an actual plot line that you think that we're not going to get this right off the bat? Like,
yeah, because there is no one else. Because we're introduced to the other fighters in the tournament, right? And each one has a quirk, right? There's a tall fighter who I feel like I'm sounding like Tarantino. And there's a fighter, right? And they know how this is, right?
Okay.
Well, one fighter, he fights to music, and he's like a really good kickboxer. All these guys are also practicing better than our main character, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have Billy Blanks, who is just a badass.
Oh my God, he's awesome.
We have two other beasts. One guy has a tattoo all over his face. And one guy who is famous for killing people in the ring constantly.
We'll talk about.
Yeah, and then we're like, okay, well, I guess we're supposed to believe it's one of them. And the whole thing is Kwong is telling him, well, we have to investigate. We can investigate while we're fighting them. And we're like, wait, what? Why? Why wouldn't he just talk to them all? There's not one scene where the fighters talk to each other. In fact, all these other fighters never have lines.
They don't have dialogue at all.
No dialogue.
So I'm like, wait a minute. When does the investigation start? Because we've gone through the training montage. So he's trained already, running up mountains and all that crap, like a Rocky montage.
Oh, we got to talk about that. This is really funny, and I have to point it out. So there is a Rocky montage of him learning how to whatever. And so when they came up with a plot and they told them and they flew there, they said, well, we're going to do the Rocky montage, but we're going to have me running up a temple steps. Then they got there and they went, oh, wait, there's no temples. So he ran. You ready for this? So he ran up an active volcano.
No.
When he's at the top, he's literally at the mouth of the volcano. He said in retrospect, yeah, I would never do that again.
Okay, well, you know, it would be tragic if he had fallen into his death or something.
Or it actually erupted.
How much was he paid for this movie?
Oh, I don't even know. This movie, I couldn't even find the budget.
$150?
So, oh, God.
Because, honestly, so, all right.
They made 80 of these, 90 of these damn things.
I cannot, that's baffling.
It's so crazy.
God.
You think there's like a box set of Bloodfist films? Well, okay, like by the way, we have to
point
this out.
Don't you even dare start looking for that box set. Oh,
it's already ready on my eBay. I'm joking. Another thing we have to point out is Baby is one of the fighters.
He is, but you know what?
He's not even good. He's just a street brawler.
He's not good. He can throw a fist, but he doesn't have the kickboxing skills that, like, say, Billy Blanks has or any of the other fighters. So you can tell that he was an actor, not a martial artist.
Yes, and you said, oh, I recognize him. I could not find anything but Lethal Weapon that we recognize, and I don't know who he is in that. So.
Just picture, like, if, like, I said Dr. Sam Beckett.
Yeah, he kept saying, oh, Sam Beckett has a brother. You know who he reminds me of? You remember in Terminator, Sarah Connor's roommate and boyfriend who get killed by accident?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, come on, man. You remember that guy?
Yeah.
I think he's in a bunch. He's in Roxanne with Steve Martin.
Oh, yeah.
That's who I thought he was at first. I was like, is this the guy from Terminator, Roxanne?
Yeah.
He's not. We don't know him from anything. I already looked it up. But, yeah, Baby's a fighter, and he's a part of this. What are the odds? And he goes to live with them. One of the funniest part is Kwong asked them to spar, right? And there's a romantic scene between Jake and the sister where they're about to have sex, but Kwong is... He throws the ice water right into them, right? And stops them. And then goes and asks the brother to spar with Baby, to spar with him. So they go up on the roof, and then he secretly tells Baby, you don't have to fight him because he's already winded from having sex with your sister all day.
Jacob is not up to fighting.
I'm taking it easy.
He says your sister wore him out. Fucking all locked up.
Fucking Kwong.
That is what he told me.
And he goes, what did you say? And he goes, that's what he told me. He told me he went all day with her and he's tired.
Oh my God.
And he's like, what? So he goes and fights him. And then Jake beats the shit at a Baby.
Like knocks him out.
Knocks him out. And everybody's like freaking out. And then never talk about it again. And in fact, later on, Baby catches Jake having sex with his sister naked and just laughs it off.
Wait, they were having sex naked?
I mean, he sees his own sister butt naked. It is odd.
That was funny.
You know what I mean.
But like, yes. But here's the thing. And then he continues to live there fine. Like nothing happened.
Yeah, he beat him up and he lives with him and they're like best friends.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that's normal, I guess.
We also have to point out that the next, for some odd reason, everybody seems to live in this building. Because when they go out into the hallway, the sister and Jake, the door opens up and the guy that stole the hat and the money from his brother's dead body comes out of a house. And he sees the hat and recognizes his own brother's hat instantly so and chases this guy down. He runs after
the guy, which this is where the movie gets bonkers. Because like he chases the guy to get the hat back and... You know, the guy doesn't speak any English, so the sister's there to translate. But, you know, he keeps saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to your brother. And
he says the snake did it.
He says something like the snake did it or whatever. He's like, but then the police come and they have a gun on Jake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, what did he do? He's just talking to this guy. Why does
he? I mean, he is Josh, you know, like. Pushing him around.
I mean, he's kind of jostling him a little bit, but like still, come on, there's no need for you to point a gun. But then they arrest him.
Not here. He actually just, the guy puts a gun on him and he just walks away. In this scene, he just walks away.
Is that the scene he just walks away? Because yep, I thought he got arrested. He just
walks away here. And it's like, okay, never talk about it again. And we kind of know that this guy is out there with a hat and he says the snake. So now it's out, oh, Quan, hey, who's the snake? I don't know. So basically he starts telling him like, oh, there's one fighter that kills people. It has a snake tattoo.
Yeah. Now, can we talk about this? Okay. So after the training montage and he's ready to fight, he has to go through a picking. It's like a,
yeah, they have
a
like,
guy that picks names out of a hat.
Yeah, a blind guy picks cards out and he can feel them.
Yeah, like who goes against who. Now, this guy's fighting this killer, and every time he fights someone, he kills them.
He kills these people.
Now,
which crazy, because later on, we find out that Baby's sister is a stripper, and that's what dancing she does. It is the worst. By the way, just coming off a whole month of stripping movies and seeing this, I was laughing. I'm like, I didn't think it could get worse because she is the worst stripper I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God, so bad.
But we find out she's a stripper and she gives him information, Jake. She says, oh, I found out some stuff about your brother. You know, he apparently was into shady dealings and doing this. And apparently he killed somebody and they hushed it up. And I'm like, wait a minute, though. Every time we see the boxing matches, this one guy kills people all the time. Are they always covering it up? Like, and why would everybody be okay with this guy killing everybody?
He kills people in front of thousands of other humans.
Yes.
So, like, okay.
There's nobody on the family members or anybody went with them? Their managers? Did they kill them, too?
Right. Why are there no police? I mean, it's still murder.
Yeah.
It's murder. And he doesn't have to kill them. If they're down and out, that's one thing. They're down and out. But he literally kills them when they're down and out.
Exactly.
For no reason. It's very savage.
So weird.
It is weird. So then we learn that the guy with the hat, he was murdered? The guy that took the hat?
Oh, no. So what happens is he's fighting in a whole bunch of tournaments. And we get to see Baby and him beating everybody, which is really comic. Sorry. It's very comedic because... No way do Baby and Jake win against these other fighters. There is no way.
Well, Baby is a terrible fighter.
Yeah, he's just punching. And the only reason he wins is because his newfound girlfriend that's stalking him is telling him to raise his hand to block his face. That's how bad of a fight he is. He didn't know to block his face.
Yeah, I know. He's terrible.
Kicks. Yeah.
He's really funny in this, though. He's got, like, that comic relief.
Yeah, he's always, like, very stunned.
He doesn't fit. Yeah. No. He does not fit in with, like, being a fighter in this movie.
Not at all. But they're winning fight after fight. And then one of the fights is actually against Billy Blank. Jake is fighting. And he sees in the audience the guy with the hat. And so he tells Quan... That's the guy. I'll beat this guy, but you have to stop him. That's the guy who knows who the snake is.
Mm-hmm.
So Quan goes after him while he beats Billy Blank, and then he beats him. All of a sudden, no problem. There's no way in hell he would win this fight.
No.
And he goes out there, and then Quan's like, he got away, but he left. But he gave me his address, and he says he wants money for the information. So we'll go to his house right now. So they go that night to his house, and when they open up his hotel room or whatever the hell, his apartment door, not only is he hung, but it looks like a bear has taken a chunk out of his chest.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Okay, now
I don't know what happened.
He was strung up, but he was also looked like he was gutted.
Yeah, like a machete, like beat him like a pinata. I don't know what happened to him.
It was so weird, and I was like, oh Lord. Okay, so if it's not already obvious to you guys listening to this, who the killer is, I mean, Jesus, it's just ridiculous.
We can just say it right here because I already had guessed it, and it is so obvious that I think from the moment I saw him, the moment we meet him, where he's drawing a picture, I said, because he says, I have your bag. I was like, okay, so he was watching him put the bag there.
Yeah.
He was waiting for him.
It's a setup.
It's a setup. It's got to be Quan. And this guy's dead. Now, there is no way Quan killed him in the time that he fought Billy Blank. So we don't know how that happened.
I mean, that was a miracle of science because he literally followed him to his home,
yeah,
gutted him, strung him up, and still had time to get back to the arena for the, you know, the fighting.
I mean,
he had no blood on him. He was fine.
I keep thinking maybe he paid the guy who kills everybody.
No, the guy was... No.
He wasn't fighting.
Wasn't he in the arena, though?
No, Billy Blank was fighting
Jake. But he could have still been in the arena waiting for his chance because the fighters were in the backstage.
There's a backstage where they're not supposed to leave. So we don't know what happened to that guy. And we see later on that they do have some kind of connection with each other.
Yeah, this is the most obvious movie of all time. Yeah, it's so bare bones generic.
Yeah, and Jake's not really asking anybody anything. The only thing that's really going on is that there's like a love story, kind of. Not really.
No, but he's supposed to be fighting these people and trying to do investigative work on who killed his brother this whole time. And he has not asked one solitary question to anyone.
Yeah. Two funny things that happen here is that the guy from Los Angeles comes there. His other co-worker.
Oh, yeah. The guy who works with him.
He says he's fleeing the IRS, which means Jake has nothing at home.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, that's my only, like,
yeah, source of... Yeah, all my money is tied up in that job, in that business.
Yeah, so...
And he's like, ah, don't worry about
it. Let the fucking IRS... That's it. His whole place, his job, his business is seized. He's got nothing back there now.
Yeah, and he says, I recognize that Quan guy.
Hmm.
And then we're like, does he tell Jake? Do they have a conversation ever? No, we'll wait. Right? For some reason, they're never in another room together again to ask each other things.
Of course.
So in that time, Baby fights that guy that kills everybody in the ring. And sure as shit, he beats the living shit out of him and apparently kills him. Well, puts him in a coma, I guess, because we see he's in a hospital still alive but on a respirator.
Yeah, but only to die later. So it was really useless.
It's pointless. He just dies. And one of the most insane things, because now Jake, Quan tells Jake that it is him, that he has the snake tattoo and all of this stuff. But Jake gets arrested he gets picked up as the criminal that killed the guy in the house that hangs him. They see him run from the crime scene. So they find him, they pick him up, they arrest him. While he's in jail, Quan comes to him and sneaks a key to him and a mango that he has injected with some kind of drug that makes you pass out, I guess. And he injected the mango, and he knows that Jake has a real weakness for mangoes, apparently.
Really weird. He feeds them to him the whole movie. Yeah.
So he tells him, get out of jail in the morning when they come to bring you to the arraignment or whatever. So he breaks out of jail, and when he's running to the contest from the jail cell, he eats the mango in the street. So when he gets to the fight, he's drugged. Right?
So he can't possibly win.
And what we find out is that Quan's brother was a fighter, and this guy also killed his brother in the thing. But what we really know is that Quan's brother, or Quang?
Quang.
Quang's brother is the guy that Jake's brother killed in the ring in the opening, and the friend knows that he's a fixer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the funniest, crazy stuff here. One of the most interesting plot lines is that Baby's girlfriend sees him die in the hospital. She goes and gets a gun to go to the ring and shoot the guy who killed Baby. And I was like, now this is a twist.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool twist. However,
it doesn't occur.
He slaps her.
He backhands her.
Slaps her, and she falls and hits her head and dies.
Well, no, she's alive.
No, she dies. They close her eyes. You didn't see that whole scene? I looked at you. The EMTs are there, and they close her eyes. She's dead. Yes.
From what?
She hit her head. She split her whole head open. I saw her
staring at them.
She was dead. Her eyes were open, and they closed her eyes. She was dead.
Fun fact, she's right.
Yes.
I'm rewinding this. Okay. I had to see if this is true.
Okay, then you can rewind it.
Insane. Because I remember her sitting up in the crowd as people were getting her because she tried to shoot somebody. You know, the only reason she doesn't successfully shoot this guy is Jake saves his life for some reason. He kicks his legs out. Because
he wants to be the one to take him down.
But he's also drugged, and at this point, he knows that something's wrong because he's drugged. And he sees that Kwong is betting. He sees his friend. And he sees his girlfriend all in the audience being like, hey. But yeah, this is one of the funniest slow motion
Kwong
shots.
Kwong is actually betting against him. Yeah.
But his friend from LA in slow motion walks over and goes, no, he's betraying you. He's betting against you. What does he say? He says something funny. He's a fixer.
It was a pretty funny slow motion.
I was like, this is insane. Yeah. They thought this was a good idea. Yeah. I know Kwong.
I recognized him.
Now, he's seeing this in slow motion because he's high. But guess what? He just is so powerful that he pushes out the drugs from his system and beats this guy who he is a monster.
Yeah, he's a monster.
He beats him so badly that he puts him into like this chair and like breaks his arms under the chair legs. And then rips what seems to be his earlobe out?
Okay, no. So he had this earring hanging from
that's like a feather?
Yeah. And okay. So he ripped that out. Like, it was like some sort of trophy for, like, beating his ass.
And you know what I love? He just throws it at the audience.
Yeah.
Someone just gets a nice funny too. Earlobe in their mouth.
You were like, ew.
Yeah, yeah. I can just imagine everybody going, yeah, shit.
Like, ew. Right in like, your mouth. A guy just yawning. Yeah. And he's like, bleh.
Yeah. Was like the eyeball in Evil Dead, right?
Oh
in
my God, Sabeth.
So yeah, he goes after Kwong.
Yeah.
Now, because not only he is okay from the ass beating he was getting while he was drugged, not only is he drugged, but he's able to run out, catch up with Kwong, and fight him in what seems to be a cemetery, but also happens to be the alleyway in which his brother died.
The same alleyway that his brother was murdered in. And the whole time that the brother was getting his ass kicked in the beginning, I was like thinking, oh boy, there's like some spikes over there. I wonder how that's going to play.
Yeah, it looks like a pitchfork, but then we see it's actually like a gate.
It's like a fence, like a metal like fence with spikes, like a spiky one. And so I was like, wait, somebody's going to get impaled on that shit.
Yep.
But we had to wait until the last 4 seconds of the movie.
Okay, we have to point out two things. When Baby is fighting, he gets killed in the ring. They oddly shoot it with spotlights. And also the sound effect of air blowing.
I didn't get the air blowing.
It was just like wind. It was just wind. So, yeah, that was weird. And then to double down, every time there's the fights in the ring, by the way, it sounds like someone is crushing a water bottle into the mic. like bones.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bad.
I know. I did hear something like that.
And also, when Kwong and Jake start fighting here, it's like the worst thunderstorm of all time.
Isn't it always?
Yes. It's just a thunderstorm. But there's nothing to it because he just kills Kwong.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is that the girl, the whole romance plot, she's like, if you cared about me, you would stop this because I want somebody who's reliable and who will be there for me afterwards. Now, by the way, her brother just died. The brother's girlfriend is, you say he's dead. She's just like, all right. So he just meets up with her and then it's like, Finn.
Yeah, Finn.
That's it.
But, you know, the filmmakers really do think that they need to help us along way too much. Because this movie was the most predictable shit. If you even look at the shadowy figure...
It looks like him.
It looks like Kwong.
When I saw him, I was like, it's him. Wait, like, it looked like an older man with longer hair.
Yeah. At least tuck his hair back or make it look a little bit different than what Kwong actually looks like.
But here's my question to you. Why did he have the red thing on?
I don't know.
Yeah, the brother grabbed it and ripped it, but why was he wearing that? He's a trainer. He doesn't wear those outfits.
Right, he doesn't wear those outfits. But it should be noted that he put Jake in that red outfit on his first fight.
Yes, I noticed that too.
I was like, okay, this can't get more obvious. Why does he have that red outfit? There's no explanation on any of this.
I said that to you. I was like, wait a minute. Like, he's not putting any of this together?
No, there's zero investigation going on. I mean, I know that the killer was right in front of his eyes the whole time, but he didn't know that.
Yeah, true.
So, like, are you going to start questioning anyone?
And in the world of this movie, which has not much of a plot, and I can't believe we talked about it this much, Jake...
This is actually a fast one.
At the end of this movie, Jake has murdered multiple people and is on the run from the cops.
Yes.
There is... nowhere for him to go here.
No.
And it's not like they can't find him because his business partner is in town having kids put his name on cars. Where to find him?
Okay, so this is something that I found very amusing. Okay, first of all, you're trying to, I don't know, whore out your business.
Yeah.
And your business is in America.
Yeah,
he said,
oh, we're branching out. So he wanted to branch to this country, but he's putting an American flyer and cars in a different country.
Yeah, so he has not set up a new business. I mean, we know the IRS took the old one.
Yeah, it's not like a strip club is where they... Oh, can we talk about the strip club? Because we didn't talk about it. They're dancing around barbed wire fences, and there's a pickup truck... lowering women onto the stage.
This place looks like an old lumber yard. Okay. I don't know what this is.
It's fucking nuts.
And the dancers, I don't know. This is not dancing. Okay. This is not dancing. I don't know what this is.
Yeah. It's
it's
pathetic.
It's literally the only way I can explain these dancers and the way that they're moving their bodies is that they literally have a dingleberry hanging and they're trying to get it off.
Oh my God.
Because it's terrible. I mean, I was like, wait a minute, what are we looking at here? Like, what is going on in the scene? It's like, they just have dingleberries.
A dingleberry.
I can't.
Over the nipple?
I don't know what was happening in this movie.
Oh my God.
But since I was not allowed to look into this movie, I am not able to find my reviews.
Okay.
So you go on and...
What's the...
Okay. Well... This is my segment that you stole from me.
Well, no. I was going to... Let's lead into... First off, we didn't review the movie.
Okay, let's review the movie first before I do the segment. This is not the worst movie ever made, even though it's bad.
My question always is, what's the worst... Is this the worst movie ever made? No. But it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. I'm going to go ahead and give this a 3. This is not so bad it's good. It's just bad. It treats the audience like we're dummies. The plot is more generic than anything I've ever seen. I mean, it's been done so many times. This has been run into the ground, this revenge plot. It's so ridiculous. There's no charismatic characters at all in this, except for the one guy, Baby. That's it. He had some charisma. Otherwise, I didn't give a shit about anyone in this movie. It's getting a 3.
I'm agreeing with you. 100%. You are nailing it. This movie is a bore. There is no good fighting. He is not a good leading man.
No.
I don't see any chemistry within this love story. There is no mystery. It is very apparent. It's a friggin' disaster. The only reason I'm giving it a 3 were I wasn't exactly bored out of my mind. I was. No. We were watching it. We were laughing. It's only an hour and 20 minutes, which is very easy to digest. We always watch these movies before recording with dinner, so we can laugh about it while we're eating. And, you know, that's all we can focus on is the damn movie. Very easy to digest this.
Yeah, this is just a generic movie. It wasn't a terrible one. It was just very generic. It's been done before. So you're also giving it a 3.
Yes, and I'm going to say on our list, we've made a list of movies. This is our number 39 film that we've put on our list as we've been ranking them. I'm going to say I'm just going to say this here. I'm putting this at number 9.
Okay.
And this is going right between Death Sport, which is worse. Death Sport is worse. We agree.
Yeah.
And Leprechaun in Space, which is better.
Okay. Oh my God. Leprechaun in Space is better. I never thought I'd say that. Oh, good Lord.
Do you agree?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So now on to your segment.
Okay, this is my segment called Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read out the two extremes of internet reviews, a 1-star and a 10-star review, as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone who fucks it up for the rest of us.
So true. Now, I hijacked this time because I wanted you not to know any of the spoilers, so I have to. What would you like first, the 1 or the 10?
I'll take the 1.
Okay, I'm going to send it over to you real quick.
Okay, please send it. Can't wait. All right, 1 out of 10, a true insult to martial arts and film. I have no idea why these people went through with making this piece of crap movie, but it was sickening in its patheticness. There was not one good thing about this whole thing. 1 out of 10. And it says warning, spoilers. There's no friggin' spoiler.
There was more. I cut it out.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, the 10. And I'm sorry this is long, but you have to read it the way it was written.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay?
All right, sometimes I stumble, you know. I'll do my best.
I'm trying here, hold on. Oh, this is a good one.
Okay, let's see. Oh, Jesus Christ, it's a freaking paragraph. 10 out of 10, Don Wilson's best movie. Don Wilson's best movie. Okay.
That's the tag. That's the headline.
Okay. Bloodfist is one of Don Wilson's best movies and only movie. Don Wilson stars as Jake Ray, who travels to Manila to find his brother's killer. The trail leads him to boxing club, the Red Fists, who every year holds a competition called the Ta-Chang. To find his brother's killer, he must enter in the tournament himself to find the killer. This is Don Wilson's best and only movie he ever made. 7 sequels made after the first Blood Fist, and this is only the best movie. Because all Blood Fists hold different story, and Don Wilson played different characters except Part 2. But Blood Fist 2 is worst movie than Part 1, okay? Don plays the same character, but it's no the sequel with 1. It's like Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon, and it's too short. The Part 2 ruined the first Blood Fist. I did not see all Blood Fists. But second Blood Fist, it's not good movie. I did not see Part 3, Part 4, and Part 5. But I see Part 6 and 7 and 8. For Scott, I hate you. For Blood Fist 6, I said that the movie is too short, is supposed to be 20 minutes longer, not short. Part 7 is good, but it's a different story. And Part 8, it's nothing to compare with first for the Part 2 and 3. I said it's copy with different characters in second. It's dead arena in third. It's prison. And in the fourth and fifth, I don't know what it is. I can't do this. I can't do it.
Please keep going.
Like in 7 or 8. For other Wilson's movie, I said they're the worst movie he made. Like in The Red Sun Rising, bad story. Lion Strike, it's also a bad movie. I read for The Ring of Fire that Vars, the worst movie of Don Wilson he made. Because he did not fight in the movie, except in the end for 10 minutes. I said, when you are Don Wilson's fan, watch this movie. It's worded to see for other movies. It's up to you who dissed. Won't know just why they had the same titles when they are different story than the first movie. I recommended that you buy the first movie on DVD and enjoyed. Okay, I want a divorce. I can't believe that you made me read that. I'm crying trying to read this. Now, I read it word for word of how this person wrote it with no punctuation. I should get an award for this.
I can't believe you read it as well as you did because it was like running sentences.
Oh my God, there's no punctuation. And everything, you can tell that this person, English is not the first language. Okay?
I need more of those reviews on this.
I knew when you picked a review.
I know Lisa won't listen to this, but if she does, she'll be very happy about that episode, that reading.
Okay. You're not, that's it. Never again are you picking my reviews. You did that to me on purpose. No,
that's the kind of reviews you need to read.
You found that was on amazing. Purpose, and you did that to me. And at first I was like, you know what? I can do this. This is fine. This is nothing.
No. When I looked down at the reviews and I saw there was 110, and then I read it was about how many of these movies that there are, and it said it that many times, I could not stop laughing. And I was like, this is the one.
I was reading that review, and I still don't know what it said.
Well, all you have to know is best Don Wilson movie.
Oh my God. That's it.
That tells you about other Don Wilson movies.
This my God.
Guy, well, first off, that could be a kid, or that could have been someone who doesn't speak English and translated badly.
I feel like this person does not, I think English is a second language here. Okay, that's what I think is going on. But yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go to sleep. I cannot, I'm exhausted from that. I can't even get my bearings.
Come on, that was the best review we've ever read on the show.
I was literally crying trying to read it. I mean, listening to you laughing was the best. I just, that's why we can't have nice things, okay? Because,
I mean, let's just talk about this.
Okay, oh my God.
I get it. He says there was nothing good about the movie. There are some things here and there that I think we kind of agree with. Like, that wasn't so bad. We've seen so many bad action films.
Yeah.
And this is not a good action film, but it isn't the worst we've seen.
Oh, no. It's really not.
Which is saying a lot, because this is not good. So, I mean, whatever. And the other guy? I don't even know if he knows what the 10 means. So, I mean, I don't know.
I can't comprehend what I just read to you. I was reading it and I can't comprehend it. Oh, God.
So, yeah, I mean,
this is going to be one hell of a month, I'll tell you what.
I'll just tell you the title of the next movie. And you tell me, do you think it'll be any better?
Okay, you tell me the title.
Because I think I'm a little worried.
Oh, God. You picked this. You decided that this is what we were going to do based on how I came up with the synopsis for every movie that we didn't pick.
Yeah. I don't remember what you guessed. I'll only play that on the next episode.
Okay.
But the next movie is called Nam Angels.
Okay.
Okay, we're just going to put it out there. But let's just get it in here. Do you guess better than this movie or worse?
All right, well, Nam Angels, I'm going to go ahead and say that there's going to be some TNA in that. I just have a feeling. I just have
and
a feeling.
And I don't. I have a bad feeling about this one.
Oh, no.
Okay, I want to know if I even find it. I want to know if I can even find it. I don't even know yet. This is just a guess.
I'm sure
I'm going to have to
it.
Look through the internet to figure this
You'll
one out.
You'll find it. It's got to be on YouTube or something. But just the fact that we're doing the Roger Corman movies that we could have done on Roger Corman month is
for
disturbing.
The 80s. This is only for the 80s.
Yeah, the 80s. Well, that's my favorite decade. So.
And you know what was the funniest? Was I made that joke, but then Street Walkin' was kind of fun in comparison to, like...
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of fun stuff going on in there.
That's one of those rare movies that we've done where I was like, people need to listen to this episode because it is crazy.
Yeah.
That he was literally the Pimpinator.
He was the Pimpinator, for sure. And I'm sure that whoever's going to listen to this episode will get a kick out of whatever it is that I just did on...
Oh, shit. All right, everybody.
I just, like, can't get over this. I can't.
Please, 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 from now on, just find more of those kind of reviews. The more insane, the better.
You just want me to read it like that. Let me tell you something. I will never pick those. You're going to have to do it for me.
No, you have to. You have to.
So I can
funny.
Read it in the... Okay.
It's right. Funny that you find crazy ones.
Oh, my God. I don't even know if what I said was English.
Those are my favorite, and I wanted to make sure that this wasn't a newer review. It was from 2007, so it was a long time ago. Like, you feel like sometimes people just found out about these movies. The more and more time goes by, the more people love trashy films. So you always got to look at the dates and go, okay, this person was screwing around. You know, we've seen a couple movies that have high ratings we've watched that are just the worst movies, but people did fake reviews on purpose to push it out.
Yeah, just to boost it up.
And I don't know when we're going to do it, but sooner or later, we have to actually watch the ones that are really, on IMDb, the worst movies on IMDb. Like, we should just do that.
I feel like we were sliding through those with Bad Movie Night. I mean, we've gone through a lot.
Shockingly, we have, on this show, we have seen a couple of them. We haven't seen a couple, but one of them we already did on the show.
Really?
So, yeah, we could talk about, if we do 1 month of just... the bottom of the IMDb, I think that could be fun. Because I know two of them, we actually enjoy them.
Okay.
So,
I'm down for that.
Yeah, so that could be fun.
Let's get through this month, though, because it's going to be rough.
All right, though. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please like and share the podcast. That would be awesome. Please hit us up on social media. Tell us what you think is the worst movies ever made. Tell us if you can't get enough of the Blood Fist and Don Wilson. And if Don Wilson, best movie ever, 9-3 is the best one, but not 2, because 2 isn't part 1, you know, something like that. Tell us. We're on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night, and Joe is at The Crafty Misfit. Go check it out and go write us. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.